Yeah, I'm just going to say, I bet he has no memory of that whatsoever.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 157 of Sapnin Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. And on this episode, we have captured a systematic close-up on a whole society of film and music.
Wait, I'm just not working out if that makes sense. Does that make sense? I don't know. I'm gonna
if it doesn't,
do you know what?
If it doesn't, so what?
Oh, my fucking life. This week's guest is Aaron McKenzie, bassist and musician in While She Sleeps, and also director and visual creator.
Yes, he's literally, he's man of many titles, and he's been involved in some great content and releases over the years. We're very friendly with Aaron and the whole While She Sleeps camp and team. We've had quite a few episodes with them now, but we wanted to do this one for quite a while to dive into the world of filmmaking and everything going on with While She Sleeps over the last year. They released their album and groundbreaking funded method, the Sleep Society, last year, and we're going to dive into everything from that, how it's evolved, the ins and outs of filmmaking from that world's mentality, angles and shots, mental health, skateboarding, iron boards, and even the beautiful face of Simon Neill from Biffy Clyro. And Sean, this is quite an interesting time because in that filmmaking, he's just done your band Raiders' first official video called Animal.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has, which is out now. Please go and check it out for God's sake, because we could do with the views, because that'd be nice. Yeah, he did Raiders Animal up in Sheffield, and we had a fantastic time, and we get into that in this chat now. So, yeah, it was fantastic to have Aaron on. Thank you very much to Aaron for giving us his time. Yeah, it was good to see him. It was good to catch up. Yeah, a couple of months ago, he put out a video, a very, very brave video, talking about his struggles with mental health and alcohol and stuff. And yeah, we get an update on that. It was a very, very good chat, and I genuinely love seeing Aaron. So this was a treat for me, an absolute treat.
Yeah, it's nice that we get to do episodes like this where the guest has a few different things going on, especially diving into a world like filmmaking, for example.
Yes.
Obviously, we've done photography before with the very, very iconic Paul Harries, but I think Aaron's going to give a really nice insight into that world even more so.
Yes, yeah. So if you've ever been interested in video and want to know how music videos work, or you're in a band and you're thinking, what do we need to do and stuff? Listen on, like you were going to turn off anyway. Like you were like, oh, fuck this shit, Dan. But yeah, check it out. It's going to be, it's fucking really good. It's really, really good. I can't brag it up much more than that, yeah, to be honest. I enjoyed it.
Yes, yeah, so, well, we're not going to go on much longer. We are going to go straight into this conversation. But just very quickly before we do, a little reminder, because it's always nice to remind people when we need their help. And if you'd like to support this podcast, the best way to do that would be visiting patreon.com/Sapnin, because not only do you get invited into our very own wonderful community of Sap Fam, incredible human beings, but there's loads of bonus content over there, and you'll hear news about everything to do Sapnin first,
that sometimes they find out before I find out, which is interesting. But yeah, check out patreon.com/Sapnin. I won't go on too much about it, but yeah, fucking love everybody there. You're all fucking legends, and I owe you my life. Disclaimer, I don't actually owe you my life, so please don't think you can come to my house and kill me and say, well, you owed me that, so.
But we did get to do a gigantic Zoom party with them recently to celebrate our 3rd year anniversary. We're going to be doing a few more of those now over the next couple of weeks as well, so come and get involved at patreon.com/Sapnin. And while you head over to the website on your mobile device, listen to this conversation with us and Aaron McKenzie of While She Sleeps.
Yes. At Sapnin Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Sapnin!
Sapnin!
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Sapnin, lads.
Yes! Hey! Oh, and he's added a bit of northern with the lads. Yes!
I know the protocol.
Yes, this week's guest is filmmaker, music video shooter, musician, and all-round legend, Aaron McKenzie of While She Sleeps, and Aaron McKenzie Films, I guess. Yes.
Films, yeah, I guess, yeah. Thank you for saying I'm a legend.
Oh, well, you are. That's all the encounter.
I don't consider myself a legend, but it's nice for you to say.
I reckon you'd be surprised how many people consider you a legend. So keep that in mind, bro. Keep that in mind, because you are. You are. How are you? What's news?
I'm Sapnin, good, man.
Sapnin.
Well, what's happening with me is, it's just, you know, been keeping busy in the sleeps camp, as always. When do we not keep ourselves busy? We've just relaunched the society, so there was a lot of, like, work that went into that. We've done it for like over a year now, so we've kind of like analyzed and researched and like, what do people like, what do people don't like, so we've kind of tried to give it all a bit of a facelift and trying to cater it more to people's needs, I guess, because you know, people kind of interact with certain things more than others, so we were just like, yeah, let's try and cater it more to people's needs. And Yeah, so that's what we've been doing for the past week. All last week, I was basically working on like the rebrand video to like launch that. And the weekend prior to that, we had our first society members only warehouse event, which was amazing. So I did like a lot of interviews with the patrons and just like getting their vibes on it, which was really nice. And it's just cool just to like interact with people again, you know, like after the past year, we've basically just been us lot in the warehouse, not really seeing anyone else apart from us. So like this year, being able to get out on the road touring and then like, you know, being able to throw something like this for the society members and like, yeah, it was just really nice. And we did like workshops and stuff because within the society, we do like a load of like tutorials and kind of like trying to pass on like the knowledge we've acquired over the years. So we all did like workshops and stuff like that, which was cool, which was quite terrifying actually. It zapped a lot of my energy because I'm not like a fucking teacher. Do you know what I mean? Like, I had to sit there like at the head of the, like on the desk in front of like a lot of people, basically just trying to make up some like filmmaking spiel on the spot. It was supposed to be like a Q&A. So I was just like, you know, I'm not going to plan for this. It'll be fine. People are going to ask questions. I want to answer them. But typical fashion, like I had like two questions and then everybody expected me to speak. So I'm like, all right, I guess I'll make this up on the spot then. But I thought it was all right. It went
good,
all right.
Good. Yeah. I love the idea of you just like running out of things to say and going, by the way, the dinosaurs weren't real in Jurassic Park.
There was a couple of moments like that, I'm not going to lie, where I was just like, right, anything else? And everyone was just quiet. And I'm like, but, you know, I've got a lot of shit to talk about. So I was just like, and I had like my laptop hooked up to the TV that was like behind me. So I was just showing them like a load of shit that I do on projects and stuff. So
yeah
it was cool, man.
Nice. Yeah, well, I did see photos of you looking like you were giving a lecture from all that. But it really seems that you and just the whole camp of While She Sleeps don't know how to take time off. You're always busy. You've always got some projects going on behind the scenes.
It makes me blood red mad. how busy and how fucking on you two are, because it makes the rest of us look like cunts.
We make ourselves look like cunts a lot of the time, so don't worry.
But really, this last year has just been a whirlwind for you guys with everything, launching the Sleep Society and then having the album come out 6 months ago. Obviously, we had Matt and Sean come on to talk all about that. But like, how has it been for you these kind of last really, you know, 12 months diving into that world, having a record come off the back of it and interacting with so many fans even more than you've ever been able to do before?
Honestly, man, it's been amazing. Like the anticipation for releasing just an album in general, you know, it's very anxiety inducing, but then to have the whole album based around, we're going to try and be the flagship band for pushing for change within the current system, I guess. It was very anxiety inducing. And I remember like that launch day, we were just fucking terrified. We were just like, what if people turn around and just go, who the fuck are you guys to say this? Do you know what I mean? But then again, like, why not? Because I think it does have to change somehow. I think, you know, the music industry has kind of struggled the past 10 years, you know, and when we first stepped into it all those years ago, we were like full of life, ready to go. And being at that stage in our careers very early on, we were very naive to like a lot of things going on. Do you know what I mean? Like with the band's finances and all that shit, with like the way things were being kept. And until we had like a sudden hit of reality of like how much debt we were in at the time, you know.
Well, that's the thing, I think. I think a lot of people don't realise, and like myself, I was one of them. Like when the Blackout was with our previous management and stuff, like we never like looked at our finances or anything. We just, you know, we were just told, oh, everything's all right. No, well, we were told you're in a good place, which was the running theme with the fella who managed us.
I mean, the people who were probably managing you and all that stuff, they were probably in a fantastic place.
Oh, they were. They were very much in a fantastic place, in their big houses. And then, and then one day we were like, oh, yeah, you haven't got any money anymore. And we were like, what the fuck? Ah?
This exactly. is nuts. And that we found ourselves in that position. Not only didn't we have money, we were in a massive hole of debt. And it was, at one point, we were like, how are we going to continue? Do you know what I mean? And I think that's the reality of many artists in the music industry. They struggle, and it's hard to make it past the first few short years if you're not vigilant enough about what's happening. And it was only because as a unit, those bunch of five guys, we're quite resilient and we work well together. And we, over the years, we found ourselves out of that debt. But that's what got us like thinking about like why the system operates the way it does, you know, because, you know, saying that the music industry and labels are bad, I don't think they are bad. And I'm not tarring everybody with that brush, everybody who works in it. But I think the way people consume music is changing, right? We can all agree on that with streaming platforms and what have you. I think there's just a severe lack of wanting to adapt to the new times, you know? And I think the reason why it's not changing much is because the only people it really affects is the artists. You know what we're like? We're just like, fucking, let's have a drink and party and just, we don't give a fuck. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, I think that's the main reason why people get in bands is because that's the reality. And they just want to go and have a laugh with their friends. But I think, you know, we were just like, we can't have this happen to us. This means too much to us. And not only that, we want to like pave the way for future generations. And, you know, if this is a struggle now, what's it going to be like in the next 10 years? And it's been probably about 10 years since that first happened to us, and it's not really gotten any better. So, sorry, this is a really long-winded answer, but...
No.
Yeah. No, so, hey, this podcast is for ranting, so you rant ranting, away okay, as you want.
I've been needing to vent for a little bit, actually, so thank you. Yeah.
It's the bloody Welsh, I hate the Welsh people. Coming over bastard. Here. Yeah.
But so we were like, why not? And like the URWE campaign proved that our supporters really like wanted to get behind us. And, you know, everybody wants longevity in this thing. And I think music's been devalued. People who are 18 years old now, they've known nothing but like free music. So it stifles them. They're just like, what does this band mean that they need longevity? What do they mean that they need to survive and all this? In reality, it's quite a brutal system. So we're like, you know, why not do this? And I think we have seen a little bit of a ripple effect from that. I've seen some bands like start, like, you know, we're not the first people to do a crowdfunder or a Patreon or anything like that. But I think we're the first ones who kind of advertised it in a way that this could be the future of the music industry if we really pushed for it. Because I think artists now are at the bottom of the pyramid holding the whole thing up and everybody else is having a great time. That whole thing, like we not, and to go back to the beginning of the question, like not only was it an album release, it was the whole release of the Sleep Society, and that a campaign of an album is stressful enough, but then to give ourselves another job on top of that was definitely quite stressful. But you know, it's given us something to do in a pandemic. We all like meet at the warehouse and we've all got jobs to do and we try and fulfill it and try, because you know, we've got that northern mentality about us where we don't, if we're releasing something like this, we want to give it as much bang for its buck as possible. Do you know what I mean? We're like, we want it to be the best experience. We don't want to scam. We want it to be the opposite of a scam. So. Yeah.
Well, I think that was one of the things as well, when you kind of announced it, is we're doing the kind of fake press conference and everything. You were kind of really putting out there that some facts and how it is actually like for bands. And I think so there's so much support from other musicians and people in the industry, and you really just being able to showcase to people that, you know, sometimes getting signed by a record label can be great and it can really work, and there's some great incidents from that, but it's not the only option. You can do other things, and that, you know, for a band, there's other outlets for you to consider.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, we're in the day and age now of the internet, of social media. Instagram is basically like people's websites. That's where you put everything. And like I said, like, I think it's just like a bit of a dated system. And I don't think, like I said before, I don't think it's the people that are bad. I just think it's just the lack of adjustment to the new way of things and the way things operate. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's as simple as what it is. But I think it does need to change. So like, hopefully it is moving in that direction.
Yeah, well, I think, yeah. Well, when you guys came out with the Patreon and the Sleep Society, I remember thinking, this is fucking genius. Because, yeah, like you said, like, nothing's really changing in the music industry because it's not affecting the businesses. Like,
yeah, if it's not affecting them.
If it was affecting the managers, the labels, streaming website, anything like that, or there'd be a change this week.
Oh yeah, it'd have to happen.
Yeah, but it takes somebody, and I'm fucking, and I was chuffed. I was absolutely chuffed to bits when it was you guys who came out and was like, look, we've looked at this Patreon system. This is a new way that we could possibly do it. And as soon as I saw you were doing it, I was like, that's fucking genius. Because I've been involved in like pledges and Kickstarters before, and that was cool. And I thought that might be the new way to go. But I think you guys have harnessed Patreon beautifully, and the way you work it, and you've worked so fucking hard on it is admirable. And,
thank you, man.
Yeah, it's brilliant to see. And yeah, you just made a community, and it's amazing to see how you've taken people who were already fans of yours, and now they are mega fans of yours because of the Sleep Society. It's literally got them in closer, and they see fucking everything working, and, you know, the studio space up in Sheffield is fucking amazing. And yeah, I'm as chuffed as I am jealous of what you created. It's fucking brilliant.
I appreciate it, mate. And that's, you know, one of the biggest things that we've got out of this is the sense of community that we've created, you know, and being able to just have like Zoom hangouts with fans and literally talk to them about, like, you know, what drum fill is going to go here. You guys decide. And they're really like involved with the entire process now. And I think when you get people invested like that, you know, you become their like favorite band forever. But that's not really the goal. It's just like, we are just some Northern lads who just love connecting with people. We've always been those guys to go to the merch desk, like after the shows, even when people are like, are you sure you're going to get swamped out there? It's going to be pretty crazy. And we're just like, we just want to meet the people who are making this fucking happen. Do you know what I mean? And just, and now like with Patreon, like, we know so many of them on like first and second name basis, and we could go for a bit. I mean, we do like go hang out and like have the warehouse events and hang out with them. It's like loads. And I think that's what it's all about. Why get into this otherwise? You know, like we're supposed to be connecting with people. That's the nature of being human. So
yeah, no, for sure. Well, you mentioned obviously the relaunch of it, and you've really analyzed things that have worked and haven't worked and change some things up now. So what are being some of those things you've realized that are things have connected with people, and what things have maybe been a little bit of a miss, or things you've realized you can work on?
What we've realized is that people just love seeing us be silly bastards. That's it. Like all the things that we put out, like of us just making ourselves look like idiots, basically, like the Hot Ones episodes. Like, I don't know if you saw like a snippet of that online. People just like love watching us just be in pain, or just like they were fucking hot as well. That was no joke, those episodes. Like, literally Loz, after his episode, had to pull up, like 2 hours later, had to pull up at the side of the road and was sick, because that last sauce was just so hot.
Wow.
And he had so much of it as well. But that was hilarious because he went into it like being proper hard man. He was just like, this ain't shit on me. And it was so funny to watch it take him down, because I did it before him and I knew how hot it was, and I knew there was no way of bluffing your way through that. So it's just so fucking funny. Yeah, but just shit like that. And they love like being a part of the process. Like I said, you know, deciding like what parts go in songs. I think they just want to feel more involved like that, you know? So that kind of stuff, like behind the scenes content, you know, that's kind of the stuff where we feel it may be getting a little bit tedious and a bit boring, but they love that stuff. Just simply, you know, a long drawn out clip of Sean like writing a lead part in the studio. Yeah, so they love all that stuff. And like the in-person stuff as well, mainly, which I'm really glad that we can start to do that properly now. And you know, like, it's been part of the perks to like do members only shows and all that stuff, which we haven't been able to do because of the pandemic. But now that it doesn't look like things are going to close down again anytime soon, we're going to start to incorporate those kind of things. So yeah, I think it's just the interaction side is what they love the most.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely feel that from everything I've seen from people posting about it online. But obviously we've got you on here not only to talk about Sleeps, but obviously your filmmaking as well. We really want to kind of dive into that side of things, because you've been doing it quite professionally now for quite a few years. Was that something you've always just had done on the back burners and stuff from a younger age while Sleeps was starting up, or is it something you've really taken on board kind of recently in terms of things?
recently, in terms of like, if we're looking at the scale of my life, it's only been like the past 5 years. So I guess it is quite recently. But I used to like love like, you know, I had a camera back when, like in my skateboarding days when I was like 13, 14. And me and Sean used to like go around just like making skate clips and just loads of crazy shit, like, you know, hopping over hedges and knocking on people's doors and trying to basically be the PG version of Jackass or
whatever. I think we all did that. I think, yeah, I was trying to be the PG version of Dirty Sanchez. So, yeah.
Well, what is the PG version of that? Because they're pretty fucking extreme, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, there is no, yeah. No, yeah, there's nothing. There is no PG. Yeah. It's just us filming us talking, going, we want to do this. We want to staple out scrotums to the table. And then not doing it. And then not filming it, because you had to be PG.
Or it's just an empty staple gun.
Yeah. Oh, I'm wild. Oh. But yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it kind of started out back in those days, I guess. And then, you know, getting into the music industry was kind of, I was like, as we all were, we were just like immersed within just making music, being in a band. It kind of, you know, that was like our whole world, as it is now. But then it was, do you know what I mean? This is what we're doing. This is the task at hand. And we're going at it full on. I guess it was kind of like in the Brainwashed era when we were signed to Sony. They like gifted us like some sports cameras, like a rip of GoPro, I guess. And I just started putting mine to use. Just to back up a little bit, we had Tom Welsh back in the day, Matt's brother, who like shot everything for us. He was like out on tour with us, making Studio Diaries, our music videos, still shoots our music videos. And yeah, he was basically like our content creator. And I felt like back in the day, we were kind of ahead of the curve a little bit with that. And we were pumping out content. So we pumped out so much in before like social media was the platform it is today. Do you know what I mean? I think even before Instagram did like 15-second videos, we were just like putting everything on YouTube. And I think we kind of helped each other, like Tom and us, you know, we helped enhance his film career because he shot us so much and he got like loads of practice in, and vice versa, you know, we kind of just helped each other out. And we got to the point where people were starting to recognize Tom's filmmaking abilities, and we never paid him because we couldn't. So he started like getting paid jobs, and obviously he went and did that. And we were like, of course, like that's the right thing to do. But it kind of left us with a couple of years where we kind of dropped off and like didn't document a whole lot, which kind of coincided with us getting these action cameras. And it wasn't like I came along and fucking saved the day and started pumping all this shit out. Like the first thing that I, first couple of years, everything I put out was, when I look back on it now, so terrible. And props to the band for letting me do that and for letting, you know, the band is kind of my guinea pig to kind of hone my skills and all that. But we kind of like didn't really know any better as well. We were kind of just all developing our skills and trying to like do anything we could just to enhance the band and just to make the band better wherever we could, you know. There's a couple of years there where I shot everything, like all, everything being on tour, all the adverts for like for the URE campaign and all that stuff. And then it kind of slowly, I was kind of adamant at the start. I was like, you know, I don't want to take this on. I don't want to be like a filmmaker or anything like that. But then I think the more you get into something, the more you want to know about it. And then I just found myself on hours worth of YouTube tutorials, like constantly. And then, it eventually just got into the place where people were kind of like recognizing the stuff that I was putting out for sleeps, because that was getting better. Like I said, around about 2018, yeah, it really started, my work started to become better. It started to look more professional. And that's when people started noticing and emailing me just saying, can you shoot this for our band or brand? And it's just gone from there. And I'm just in the process all the time. Like, you know, it's a massive learning curve, just like anything. But I'm in the process of just fine tuning all the time where I can. And I think this year is probably like, well, it's not probably, it is the best work that I've put out to date, which I'm really proud of.
Nice. Yeah. Well, do you think being thrown in at the deep end around that time really lit the passion for it for you a little bit more?
Definitely. Yeah. And I think it's just a way to express my art. Do you know what I mean? I think that's all it is. Like, I think within any art, whether it be music, filmmaking, painting, I guess just anything, really. I think there's many parallels, and there's many parallels to like the learning curves. And for me, it was a bit of like a palate refresher, I guess. And it was just a way for me to express just my art just through a different format. And yeah, and like I said, I did have like a bit of a love for it many years ago. And I think that it was reignited. And it was like, you know what, this is fucking fun. It's really fun. And I think because there was like no massive pressure at the start, like with Sleeps, you know, there was always pressure. It's like, what's the next album going to be like? Every album's monumental amounts of pressure. And it was like any bad record could be the end of your band. You know what I mean? And I think for there to be no pressure there and just to have it completely just be fun, that was really appealing to me. Although now it's going into the side of it. It's still really, really fun, of course. And I love it. And I love it just as much as music. But yeah, it's definitely stepping more into that professional world now, which I'm not complaining about.
Nice. What was the first music video you did? What band?
It was a band called Havelock from Sheffield.
Oh, I know. Yeah, very good band. Very good band.
They're sick, man. And I kind of like look after them in a managerial sense, I guess. It's not, so I wouldn't label myself their manager at all, but it was kind of like, I did their first music video, and at the start they didn't really know how to, because I've spent many years, you know, like posting on social media, like knowing like when's the right time to post, knowing like when to put some money behind stuff and all that stuff that comes along with that. So it was just me at the start, just giving them a bit of guidance in posting that video, really. And then we really connected on friendship level. So then it kind of just went from there, and I've done all their music videos since. And yeah, they're on like a really good trajectory at the moment. So it's really cool to see, man. It's cool to see that, you know, a few years ago when I did their first music video, they were very, very much like a local band underground. And now they're seeping through the cracks, which is really, really nice to see.
Yeah. Well, it must be cool to be able to work with like kind of younger bands as well and give knowledge, but see how filming has let you have some weird and different experiences as well. Like, I know you've done a lot of work for people like coffee shops and a pizza place and all that kind of thing. So how is it like for you being able to have like a little project like that, being able to go into a whole different world and work with them?
Yeah, it's fun, man. This is what I really love about filmmaking, is that it really keeps me on my toes, because it's all different. And like every project is different. You know, going into a music video is completely different from going in and doing like a business promo for like a pizza shop or a coffee shop. And especially when there's like the interview aspect of that film as well, you really have to think about the audio. So like half of filmmaking is the audio as well. And if the audio is bad, it's going to be a bad experience for the viewer. But I did really find that I am swaying to really loving like the business promo kind of side of it, just because of like the interviews that you get to do with people. And it's just about sitting down with people and talking to them and connecting with them. And just because everybody's got a story, you know, and it's nice to be able to just sit down and talk with people. On the Nervous campaign, I don't know if you saw the advert that we put out prior to that. That was really nice, just to be able to like give people a platform and talk to them on a level that you wouldn't really sit down and talk to people, you know. Like when if you sit down and talk to somebody, it's usually you're dancing around. It's usually like the base level conversation, you know. But like this, it was so strange to actually delve straight into like, okay, what makes you nervous? Like that's something that you don't really talk about with people. So that was nice. But yeah, there's many, many different aspects to filmmaking. That's why I love it so much.
Have you had any stupidly weird like offers or requests or something a bit dodgy to ask to go and film?
A bit dodgy?
I don't know.
I don't know his emails. I don't know what inquiries he's
had. Well, actually, Morgan, I had one Welsh band get in touch with me and saying I wanted to blow his own head off with a gun. That was fun.
That was one of them.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah.
That's a very good segue, Sean.
Could have been more fun if it was a loaded gun, but wasn't. But yeah.
Although you know a gun's not loaded, it was still very, I didn't like you putting it to your head.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
and I loved it. So yeah, that's the excited, I suppose. I was like, oh, this feels like home. Oh, that's weird. But yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, who was the last band who did? If it was us, don't ignore that and we can move on.
The last band that I shot was a band called but I probably can't talk about that because I don't have
to. Okay. All right.
We can blank a bit.
And
if we do a reaction bit here now, like it's Keen. What is Keen?
The last music video I actually did was, apart from that, was you guys. So we can get into that if you want.
Well, yeah, let's talk about Raiders and Animal. Obviously, you know, that was Raiders' first big music video. I think it'd be nice to dissect and go into that a little bit for the two of you.
Yeah, it's basically our only video. As soon as we found out Aaron was shooting videos, we got in touch with Aaron and Aaron said he was up for it and we sent him the track. And we went back and forth with ideas. We pretty much had it all set up, I think. And then I was out one day doing a gig and I was like, oh, if we have the first shot at the end after the gunshot, it looks like this goes round and round. This is like an occurring nightmare, which is life.
Which is life.
it was fantastic. The whole experience was great. I recommend anybody who's looking to do a music video to try and work with Aaron if possible, because we got to go up to Sheffield, we got to go to the warehouse and see everything as well, and it was a fantastic day. I know we really enjoyed it. What annoyed you most about Raiders, Aaron?
What annoyed me most was, I tell you what was the funniest thing about the day was covering you in blood was really satisfying. And I wanted to do it, but I thought I'd give the duty to one of your band members who you might piss off the most. So I was like, who's up for this? Who was it who covered you in blood? I forgot.
I don't know, no, to be honest. We were all having bashes, I think.
I think everyone was having a little square, weren't they?
Yeah, I think Raiders. I think the Raiders boys got excited because they thought they meant, oh yeah, getting bloody by giving these lead pipes, getting bloody by them boys. Oh, fucking, he does my fucking head in a van. Yeah, fucking have him, boys. Yeah. We had a fantastic day, and I think I think it looks great.
Yeah, it's cool, man. Like, I thought you guys were just, like, really easy to work with. I could tell you've been in a band for many years because, like, there's a lot of the times where I, like, really have to, like, direct people and it has to, like, it's quite the effort. You know what I mean? But then, like, I remember, like, on your first take, you were the first up, I think. And I remember on your first take, I was like, yes, you're going to make my life easy. Thank you. Do you know what I mean?
That's the thing. Like, I think some people just go into it either nervous or thinking they have some idea of how it's going to go. And it's like, it's not. Basically, you just need to be at the mercy of the director, really. You just need to shut up and fucking listen and perform how you perform. And I guess you have to think about it from a performance side as well. And you have to keep in mind of angles and where you are on your mark and stuff as well. And
a lot
of bands who, well, like our bassist, that was our bassist Ryan's first ever music video. He was there.
Yeah, he said he was good, man.
Ever involved with. And then he had big long hair and he was doing his big, like, swishing movements with his long hair. And then he cut his hair off like a week later
before
we had the video back. Yeah, like a fool. it looks like we've got Angry Jesus playing bass now instead of Ryan that everybody knows.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, it was good, man. Like, I thought, like, the collaborative effort was good. Like, I went to you guys with, like, the initial idea and we kind of, like, bounced off each other. And I think the input that you guys gave really made the video, especially with the masked man being yourself. Do you know what I mean? Like, I guess, For anybody who doesn't know, who wants like a little bit of context about it, like, there was a police interrogation room. Sean was playing Russian roulette with a masked man who turned out. Yeah. Shall I say spoiler alert?
Yeah, you can't know. It's all right.
Spoiler alert. Skip 30 seconds past if you don't want to know. It was Sean. And I guess like that room symbolized your headspace. Very much so. And I guess that's true of anybody's headspace, I guess, that ongoing like battle we all face. And a lot of the times we don't recognize that we're fighting ourselves, you know?
Yeah. And also the one the one-way mirror kind of represents people kind of looking into it all as well, I guess.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. And I think, like, the Russian roulette kind of symbolizes, this is something that I kind of made sense of after, where, like, I think it's a cool symbolizing thing where I think the Russian roulette and the gun is, like, thoughts, and, like, how a lot of thoughts can just be an empty barrel, but it only takes that one to gain some traction and send you down, like, a negative spiral, which, and ultimately, we're the ones who pull the trigger on ourselves, aren't we? Do you know what I mean? And I guess that's the message behind it, is that you can be your own worst enemy.
Nice. Wow. Yes.
That was nice and deep there. I didn't expect much dialogue behind it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd go deep if you let me. Just give me an inch and I'll take a mile with it.
Oh, but I would like to get into, like, that whole kind of concept of planning a music video, because, like, when you're doing shoots like this, like, I'm sure, like, pre-production and just everything beforehand must take a lot of time. So, like, how do you go about, like, thinking of, like, angles and different shoots and obviously retakes, and then just a change on the day, on the location? Like, talk us through it. How do you go from speaking with someone to film something to the actual final product?
So it all changes relatively to what the band, or what, you know, see, if we're just talking about a music video, it changes. Some people come to me straight away with a concept, which is, you know, makes my life kind of easy. I'm like, I'll figure out what you guys want to do. And there's always kind of like, there's a simple, like, rule, I guess, within filmmaking and angles. It's like, once you know that, it's kind of easily, it's a bit paint by numbers like that, you know, like, you get your wides, you get your mids, you get your close-ups. I won't bore you with all the rules, but there's a certain amount of rules. So I kind of just, like, make a shot list either based on the concept that they've given me, or if they haven't got a concept and they're like, we're open to do whatever, I kind of just, like, listen to the song over and over again, try and come up with, like, a concept that would fit the song and fit the lyrics. And then, yeah, it's just about making a shot list and just going through it. And then I usually like to have a meeting with a band post shot list and post ideas, which is at the point where I spoke to you guys and Raiders, and then and try and make it a collaborative effort then, and you know, come up with ideas together. And then, yeah, it's just a lot of sitting there thinking, I guess. Do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes my wife's just like, what are you doing? I'm just like, I'm thinking about a concept for a music video. I'm just sat there, just with headphones on in the corner. Just like,
You basically got the perfect excuse now to stop any person from talking to you. You can just be like, oh, what are you doing? Shut up. What do you mean, shut up? I'm thinking of a music video.
I'm just thinking.
Adam, I'm fucking sick to death of you thinking of video concepts. What are we doing for food later on? I can't
just a
think
second,
right
I'm
now.
Thinking.
Yeah. Ooh, what if we shot a video at a vegan restaurant? You mixed the two up, Aaron. You mixed the two up.
Maybe that's the next concept for the next video.
Oh, that's a bad idea.
But yeah, like, I guess that's just it, really. There's not much else to it. And then it's just shooting the video and then just trying to be clear on the day. And, you know, I can't stress enough how much the pre-planning is so important, because when you're there on the day, you want to be clear with your directing. You want as much headspace as possible without thinking about what's coming next. Do you know what I mean? And then there's always room to improvise, you know, and be spontaneous. But as long as you've got, like, the clear foundation, then you're always going to have, like, a bit of weight lifted from your mind, because you've got a clear plan of what to do and what to shoot. And then, yeah, like, after shooting, it's, but into the editing room, which is the most enjoyable part for me. I really enjoy that bit. It's just being able to sit down and build a story. And I think that's a real art in itself, is the editing part of it, because, you know, you can give two different people the same footage and they will always come up with two completely different edits. But I think, the editing room, there's no real rule to it there. You can kind of do whatever you feel is needed for that project. But yeah, it's my favorite part, building the story and making it feel unique. And you know, there's so much satisfaction when it's really starts coming together and you can see how it's panning out, and you're just like, It's amazing. It's amazing. And there's so many parallels to music, I guess, as well, when you're building the song and then you put two bits together and then it really fucking works. Do you know what I mean? And it's the same, and it's just, it feels so good. Yeah. So that's what I really love about it.
Nice. And like with Seth as well, like when Sleeps are on tour, like obviously you mentioned that you've taken a lot of that responsibility, obviously, for tours. You're bringing an extra photographer, maybe a videographer or anything to help you out along the way. But like, do you ever get fed up of being like, oh, I've got to do this now? Or does it actually help you because there are so many of those long hours kind of driving in between or being stuck in the dressing room? Like, is it a nice mixture, or does it get on your nerves quite a bit?
No, I think it's good. I mean, I think the first podcast that we were on when we were on Sapnin, when Gaz walked in, I think I was editing on an ironing board at the time.
Yeah, you were.
So like, you know,
high tech equipment.
Try and find wherever to edit. But at that time, I was editing the Road to Brixton, like mini documentary that we were going to put out. But in terms of like the day to day kind of thing on tour, we usually try and get like a content creator out with us now. Usually we have Daniel Barnes, who a part of the Sleep Society now as well. And we usually have him out with us just to take that responsibility away from me, because there's only so many times you can put out a video where the camera's like static on the stage in different angles. Do you know what I mean? We want somebody where it's specifically their job to like pump out the content every day. And then I can take on the more elaborate projects like the Brixton documentary and stuff like that, or like music videos. Like I do shoot like music videos for us as well. Usually when we've got no budget left, I take those ones on. After Tom Welch has spent it all, they're the ones I do. Like did like the Haunt Me video and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? So it allows me a little bit more freedom to be able to take on those bigger projects where, you know, it's gone past that like daily thing. I kind of done my stint with that. Do you know what I mean? So and I think it's important to get somebody on board with you who's got that eye as well, where you trust them, because there was a few times where we got like, you know, specific content creators out with us before we like kind of landed on Barnsley, and it was always trying to keep an eye on them, like, you know, talking through what we need. But like Barnsley, he just knows what we need, and we've been friends with him for years, so like, and he gets our humor and he knows how to make us look like idiots more than anybody else, I guess.
Nice.
But that must be a cool side to it as well, seeing now with the Sleep Society how many of your friends and people like that you've been able to hire in roles like that. I mean, obviously we've got to give a shout out to James Hill, because if we did a podcast, any podcast mentoring while she sleeps and we don't shout him out, that would be a crime. But yeah, it just must be nice to be able to like see that it's grown that much now, that your friends can actually have a job out of this as well.
Definitely, man. Yeah, like just being able to employ our friends, because at the start, before, you know, the first few months of lockdown, before we were, you know, building the Sleep Society ready for release, it was difficult, man. It was difficult for us because we were trying to adhere to lockdown rules and everything. So we had to do a lot of things remotely at the time. But then like, yeah, just seeing our friends just not, you know, because there was very little support from the government, wasn't there? You know, especially in like the music industry and this, particularly the sector that we were in. So it was difficult to like kind of watch them struggle. And yeah, it wasn't nice at all. So being able to like hire people off the back of that, like I said, like on launch night, it was so anxiety inducing, and it kind of turned from once we launched it and we saw people join as rapidly as they did, it turned from nervousness into excitement. Like, oh shit, like we have to do this now. This is fucking amazing. And literally like the next day we were like, that's the main thing as well. That's the point I want to get across, is that we're not taking any personal financial gain from the society. We're pumping it all back into the operations to be able to hire our friends who didn't have a job during the pandemic, to put it back into the operations of the warehouse, to be able to have like a comfortable space for us to create all this stuff for people. We're not like taking a single penny. But yeah, it's great, man. It's great just to have them around more than anything, just for everybody's mental health, I guess, because the pandemic was very difficult for a lot of people. It was definitely difficult for me. And to be able to like be around my friends every day, like, you know, with this one goal in mind of being able to connect with more people, it was the best thing ever. And I couldn't have asked for any more during such a fucking difficult time.
Yeah, I think that's what we found with our Patreon community as well. It was like over the lockdown, we all kind of came together and we all looked after each other, and like people in our Patreon were sending each other gifts, and they were doing like, yeah, it was just amazing. And it's been fucking beautiful to like, because we weren't even expect, like, we just thought, oh, we put a Patreon up, we probably get like fucking four people. Yeah. Fucking, you know, we get £4 a month after Patreon takes its share or whatever on PayPal as a link.
Yeah.
And but yeah, they've just been so amazing to each other, and it's fucking fantastic. And I've seen that with you guys as well. Like, I've just seen the community grow, and there's people in our Patreon who are in your Patreon who fucking absolutely love it, and they tell me how amazing yours is, which makes me feel bad about my but yeah, it's been awesome to see. And yeah, I think basically they both came about at the perfect time. It was when everybody needed some fucking companionship and something to look forward to.
Definitely. I think saying like the Sleep Society was a silver lining at that time, not only for like our own mental health, not only just for, you know, the community that we've created, that they didn't only need it, but I think a lot of people just needed to hear it at a time where, you know, like everybody was in like financial turmoil, and like bands were fucking dropping like flies before the pandemic. Do you know what I mean? So like, I think everybody was just like, what the fuck do we do? Because there was literally no light at the end of the tunnel. And that's what the Sleep Society was for us. It created some light in such a fucking dark time. And yeah, just being able to connect with them, and just, and it's so nice to like, not only like create the community of people and connect with them on a personal level, but watching them connect and make friendships and stuff like that, and watching them like in the Discord, just having a laugh together. And just, you know, we, like I said, we do like Zoom meetings and stuff like that. It was amazing. Like, and during like the nervous era when we released that song, and like the whole like message behind like mental health that we put out with that song, we did like a Zoom meeting with everybody.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The theme was to, like, to, you know, create a safe space and just so people can talk to one another. And I remember like that specific time was like the best my mental health has been in such a long time, because we were connecting with people. And I remember after that like safe space that we had, there was a lot of people who talked about their mental health for the first time ever, which, and you know, some people had horrendous stories, man. And it was a very like emotional kind of thing to happen, you know, like, and I remember like opening up about stuff that I've never opened up about before. And I remember just walking away from that like Zoom meeting, just like on such a high, just being like, that was the fucking best. That was so good to connect with people on that level. And I think that's kind of what's missing in this day and age. And I think that's, you know, the reason why my mental health was so good around that time was because that whole message we were putting out at that time was so necessary on a personal level and, you know, on the grander scheme of things as well. It allowed us to open, like, you know, just like any kind of relationship. I think a relationship that you have in a band, it runs deeper than family. Do you know what I mean? Because you're literally together all the fucking time. I see them more than I see anybody in my life. And I think you can like start to drift a little bit sometimes. And I think that whole thing, that whole time brought us all together and we start like asking each other, how are we doing more? Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So that was good. I don't know how I segued onto this, but
sorry. No. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's so good to hear as well. And yeah, like you said, it's like from our Patreon, there's people who were potentially fans of things, either the podcast or things I'd done before, who I am now genuinely friends with. Mm. And are so much closer to because of this fucking Patreon and the community we've created. And yeah, we've had, you know, we've all gone back and forth. We've had chats, like you said, chats about mental health and stuff. And
it's just nice to see that how spaces like communities like this can open up safe spaces and people can feel that open with these things. And yeah, it's nice to see that even you're all getting benefits out of it as well and being able to open up.
Definitely, man. Yeah, I think, I don't know, with this day and age of like social media and stuff like that, I think it creates this like false sense of like needing, like, I think being unapologetically yourself and being true to yourself is like the most important thing you can do. And especially in this day and age of social media, it's kind of, it has reinforced a lot of negative traits within the human psyche, I think. And I think there's good parts to it as well, like when people like rally together for a good cause and like connecting with people. But I think there's also this like narcissistic need to show up for the world and post about things even when you don't feel like you need to. I think it's this addictive impulse almost. And I don't know about you, but like sometimes I have to have moments away from social media where I delete it and I stay off it for like a week at a time. Do you know what I mean? And I genuinely feel like this impulse to like grab my phone and literally open up the app. And I'm just like, that's where it's fucking getting a bit dicey, isn't it? When it's that impulsive that I just need to do that. So I think, yeah, I think people need to hear that kind of message, you know, in this kind of day and age. And you know, it, like social media, like I said, it can be a fucking good place for people to rally together, but then at the same time there's like apps that make you more beautiful than you are, and you think you have to be something more than what you are, and you see other people posting about their life that looks seemingly so good, where they probably take a fucking selfie and smiling and then crying while they're posting it. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's what we need to overcome is being more true.
A couple of months back, you did, you were very brave and you posted that video about your mental health and touring and stuff like that. And I wanted to say thank you for that, because genuinely, I saw that and I was like, I know how he's feeling. It's so fucking brave of you to do it and say those things and fucking, and come through the other side. Are you better? Are you feeling a bit better now?
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like 3.5 months sober again. I've been fizzling it out of my life for the last few years. But it's definitely been a battle. But that's why I kind of like felt so compelled at that time when I was feeling my worst. And I don't know why I felt so compelled, but I was just like, I think the main drive behind it was that I know for a fact there's other people who are feeling exactly like me right now, and I feel like I've hit the bottom of the bottom. Why does it feel like I can't share that with people? Do you know what I mean? And like, I think it'd be so disingenuous and so, you know, like we just did the Nervous campaign talking about being open about your mental health. And I thought, you know, if I need to like do a service to that, do you know what I mean? And if it just helped the one person who was feeling like I was, I think then I've done so. And it wasn't like a selfish thing. It wasn't that I was doing it to make myself feel better. I felt like it was just fucking genuinely needed at the time.
Yeah, I believe. You did. You helped a lot of people with that, I think. And for people to see people, even in your favorite band, because you think, oh, well, you know, these people are in my favorite band. There's no way they could be suffering for things similar to me, you know, because they've got the band or whatever. So, you know, for somebody who's not a musician or something, to see someone they look up to being in the same place and opening up and, you know, saying it's okay to open up. That's such an important thing. And especially now more than ever, just because the fucking state of the world or whatever. So, no, I commend you as highly as I possibly can, because that was fucking...
Thank you, mate.
That was, and you're doing fucking fantastic. So, yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah,
definitely.
Same way.
Yeah, definitely. And it will, you know, it's not all going to be smooth sailing. And I think that's what a lot of people need to realize, is that we've got this notion in society where being happy is the only kind of feeling we should celebrate, you know. But I think, when we're feeling down, we're trying to fight it so much and we're trying to get back to a state of happiness. But I think that's why it gains so much traction, is because you think it's kind of wrong to be there and it's wrong to feel the way that you're feeling. But I think if you just like, and you know, Sean's doing, Sean Long in our band, he's doing so many great things about this message, is that he, you know, his saying is like, the cure for the pain is the pain. And it's like, if you just sit with it and just know that it won't last forever, that's the state of the universe. It's ever changing. It will literally like defying the law of the universe. If you are in a depressive state forever, it will change at some point. But I think not relishing the fact that, you know, I think it's just not being in that state and wanting to be out of it so badly, that's what keeps you there, I think. So I think, yeah, and I, like I said, I think it's just about being honest. And I think now more than ever, in a world of social media where we're always presenting our best selves, no matter what we're feeling like, I think that only perpetuates this toxic mentality. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Aaron, I really appreciate how open you've been during this conversation about everything. It's been really refreshing. It's been lovely to hear, so thank you for that. But as we wind down, just two last things I'd like to touch on and really share the excitement even more. I mean, obviously, While She Sleeps, you've done so many things on the road. You've played some amazing festival sets, headlined massive venues, and supported a lot of your favorite bands. But one thing we always like to ask is that there must be a moment out of all that really stands out for you, where you've been in a situation that you just can't believe, or you've met someone along the way that's really made you think, like, how the hell have we gotten here? How am I in this predicament? Like, is there anything that comes to mind for you? Is there any, like, little adventures?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many, man, throughout the years. Like, you know, especially, like, playing certain festivals and, like, main stages. You know, in those backstage areas, you do come across a lot of people, which is crazy. Like, yeah, I remember being just plucking a memory. I forgot what festival it was, but I remember being side stage for Marilyn Manson, and just being like, this is fucking insane. And just watching how fucking mental he was. And I remember, and we wasn't supposed to be there. We kind of like blagged our way side stage, and you know, we're there filming, and I remember him like getting on one of the amps, like really close to us, just kind of like staring us out and just like rocking the amp backwards and forwards. I was like, he is going to fucking come over and kill us right now. And I was just like, what is life right now? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was a fucking weird one. Oh, there's just so many.
Yeah. Have you been any, like you said, backstage areas? Like my first thought then when you said backstage area, I remember, I think it was 2009, the Blackout did Download Festival, and we were next door to Motley Crue, right? And
yeah.
Snoz, the drummer from fucking the Blackout, one of his favourite bands of all time was Motley Crue. So he literally stood outside our dressing room, just staring at their dressing room, waiting for him to appear.
Just
so, yeah,
not tactfully whatsoever, just like...
Oh, no. The Blackout, tactful. Fuck, like, we were literally the fucking daftest band, and we were literally going up to our heroes at every possible given opportunity. I stopped Fred Durst from walking once, I was like, whoa, what do you think you were going with your family? I've got to tell you how much you mean to me. You're tiny man.
I really love the story of when I've heard you tell it a few times on Sapnin, when you was rapping his song to him.
Yeah, in his own voice. Yeah.
Thought that was hilarious. We got on stage with Limp Bizkit once. I think it was like 2012 again. Forget what festival it was, but there was a song where he was like, all girls from the crowd come up on stage, and we were like side stage. So he got like loads of girls from the crowd on stage, and we were just like just slid our way in there and just took a selfie on the front of the stage.
Nice.
I'll send you the photo actually. It was pretty fun.
Oh, please, yeah, we'll use that.
We'd love that.
But any other thing, anything else comes to mind? Or just being in a really weird,
honestly, like, dude, I can't remember what I had for my dinner yesterday. Do you know what I mean?
Right, like, that's fair.
I was recording with renowned lovely person Simon Neil.
Amazing. I don't think there is a nicer man in existence.
He's
such a nice dude, and he could quite easily not be. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he has
absolutely, if he wanted to, he could be an absolute twat to everybody. But
yeah, but he's so nice. He's so nice, and he was so accommodating. You know, he was in the video as well. He didn't need to do that. But we got like, and obviously it was at a time where the restrictions were a bit tighter. So we sent a team up there to film his parts to make it look like we was a part of the same scene. And
well,
we shot that
I didn't
in like,
know that.
We shot that in like February. We shot that in like February. So it was freezing. Do you know what I mean? And he was outside just fucking for hours, just shooting this part for the music video. So that's how nice he is. Do you know what I mean? He couldn't have been a nicer bloke. That's all I've got to say about him. He's just really, really nice.
He is, isn't he? He's lovely. He's lovely to look at, and he's a lovely human being. It's like the perfect
and to
package.
Listen to. He's got a beautiful voice.
And that,
just everything about him. He is just visually and audibly a lovely man.
I love the idea of the first two being true. He's fantastic to look at. He's very nice, but he's fucking dreadful on record.
Records amazing as well.
They always nail it. They always nail it. But one other thing I wanted to mention to you, and that I know a lot of people are excited about, is obviously next year in 2022, September, October, you're going to be around Europe touring with Parkway Drive. There's going to be a lot of fire. There's going to be lasers. There's going to be mosh pits. There's going to be carnage. I bet you can't wait for that one in particular.
It's just absolutely silly, isn't it? Main support to Parkway Drive on arena tours in Europe and the UK. It's just fucking... That's what dreams are made of. Like, I've loved Parkway Drive. We all love Parkway Drive and still do. But especially back in the day, they were a huge influence on us, you know? Those first couple of albums, just like... absolutely adored them, and they were always on in the car, and just to be able to, you know, and watching their DVDs as a youngster as well, just being like, I think they, like, we always had this like mentality of like the DIY kind of thing, but you know, we were really like, after watching their documentary, like, we can do this if we just fucking put our minds to it. So I think they played a part in that as well. Just to watch a fucking, what were a tiny band from a place in Australia that nobody knew are now this fucking gigantic, you know, monolith in the fucking music industry. It's just amazing. It's really inspiring. And yeah, and to be a part of that journey, like we've toured with them once before in America on the Atlas tour, which was like 2013. And this, honestly, loved, such lovely guys. And so I can't fucking wait. I can't wait for it. It's the dream tour. So yeah, it's gonna be fucking good.
Yeah, we had Winston on before, and he was lovely. But then instantly, and I was trying to think of a bad Australian. I'm trying to think of any Australians I've toured with who are
Do they exist?
I don't know.
I don't know if they do. I don't think I've met. I don't know one that comes to mind anyway.
Rolf Harris.
Is he Australian?
Yeah.
Oh, damn, he's giving them a bad name, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, imagine that. Well, she sleeps car tour with Parkway Drive on the off chance that somebody knows Rolf Harris now. That's fucking disgusting.
Rolf Harris is Australian. Sorry, we're going to have to turn it down.
You must know him. You must know him. You're from the same land. Like, it's
right,
fucking
that's
mental. But
a weird place to get to. But on that note, anything else you would like to plug or mention or anything? Obviously, give us all the details of where people can find you for getting in contact for music videos or filming or anything like that. If there's anything else, please plug away.
Yeah, so I guess I'll start with the Sleep Society. We've just rebranded and relaunched that, bigger and better than ever. So definitely go over there, check it out, sleepsociety.com. We fucking work our asses off for that. So if you do sign up, you will not be disappointed. And yeah, if you're interested in working with me, all the best work that I've done is on my website, amfilms.co, and that is where you can find the contact information to get in touch with me about work as well.
Nice.
Wow. Well,
yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, lads. I really appreciate it. I just want to say before you go that I've told you this before, I'm a big fan of Sapnin, but just so it goes on record, I'm a big fan of Sapnin. I love what you guys do. So yeah.
Thank you.
Really appreciate that.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Thanks for taking the time for this. It's been really insightful into all different aspects, and yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what comes next from both your filming and the Sleeps Camp.
Thank you. Yes. Should be interesting. For years.
Lovely stuff.
Yes. What a chat. What a man. Just a brilliant soul, great mind, and very creative individual is Aaron McKenzie. While She Sleeps has been very good to us over the last 3 years of doing this podcast. This is our third episode with members of While She Sleeps, and they always just treat us with the utmost, greatest stories, great laughs.
Are they winning the amount of podcasts we've done with them?
No, I think the Perrys as a whole would win that.
Yeah.
I know I was trying to do that math thing and work out numbers.
American for maths. You were doing the American
What's
version of maths.
What's the correct? I don't know the correct way to say it, because I always get worried. Is it maths or math?
Well, it'd be mathematics, innit? It's not mathematic. You're not doing mathematic. You're doing mathematics.
Shit name for a band as well.
So that's plural, right? Okay. So if shortening it, it's maths. Surely. Unless you're an American dullard, which seems to be a running theme as well. So, maths, like, wrong. You're wrong. It's so wrong. Like, just using maths, right? You should know plurals, S on the end, maths. It's right, more than one math, innit?
This is my excuse for anything like this, though. I went to an all Welsh speaking school, so all my lessons were in
Jesus
Welsh.
Jesus Christ, yeah.
So English is my second language, technically, and that probably makes a lot of sense to the amount of mistakes I make on this podcast.
Do you know how many fucking light bulbs just went off over listeners' heads? Bing!
There it is.
Journalist. Nice. That makes sense now, yeah. That makes sense. But yeah, it's maths with an S for any Americans. And if you want to argue with me, I live closer to England and you speak English, so I'd probably know better than you. So take that, Americans. Come at us at Sapnin Pod on Twitter and Instagram. If you think it's math, because you'd be wrong, it's maths with a plural. I can't believe we've got riveting fucking stuff. Like, tell us if you think math or maths is right. What the fuck is going on? Oh my God alive, I'm sorry everyone.
But you'll never know what you're going to get from episodes of Sapnin Podcast. We can guarantee that, because we don't know half the time either. But no, great to speak to Aaron, and just an update on everything going on in the While She Sleeps camp. I've said it once and I'll say it again. That band is probably the most hardworking in the whole scene, in the genre, probably in the world right now. Go and check out their Sleep Society album that came up 6 months ago. Absolutely ripper. It's got some great guest features from the likes of Derek from 741 and Simon Neil from Biffy Clyro. And of course, the actual Sleep Society community, which is showing up everyone else with Patreons and everything like that. Apart from us, obviously, because we had it first. So technically, we had it before them. So they owe us inspiration fee.
The idea, yeah, definitely an inspiration fee. Also, I wonder if they've ever thought about doing the song with Derek Whibley live, the fellow from Sum 41, and obviously replacing him with me because he can't turn up. Because
maybe.
If you don't get that, listen to every single episode of Sapling Podcast, because there's a massive in-joke there about how many times I've filled in for Sum 41.
And some of those previous episodes include Simon Neil from Biffy Clyro and Mr. Winston McCall from Parkway Drive, who, while she sleeps, will be touring and supporting across the UK and Europe next year in September and October of 2022. I believe tickets are on sale now, so try and grab one fast, as soon as you can, because that is going to sell out everywhere and it's going to be full of fire, as I mentioned earlier.
Oh, you definitely want to go. It's going to be fucking hell of a production. Imagine if fucking Parkway Drive just don't bother with a production for this one. They're doing like fucking arenas and fucking like massive, massive rooms. And they're like, do you know what? Three light bulbs. We're only paying for three light bulbs above us. And that's it. And they'd be fucking minted. Oh, it'd be class. I'd love her. But they won't. They're going to spend all their fees on fucking fire and lasers, knowing them. And we all know fire and lasers are the two of the best things you could ever see watching fucking rock and metal.
If that isn't true, I don't know what is. But speaking of those popular rock concerts, Sean, I believe you might be performing a few very, very soon.
Yes, if you're listening to this before November the 27th, my band Raiders is playing in Leeds. We are supporting a band called Kill the Silence with a band called State of Error at the Key Club in Leeds. Check that out. And also December the 15th, we're having a Christmas extravaganza on behalf of a band called Sleep Outside from Cardiff, who are fucking brilliant. Raiders, who are quite good. I'd go and watch them via Zoo. They're very interesting. Frontman's gorgeous. And then Junior, Cardiff wrestle pop punk rock band Junior are getting together. But if you become a member of our Patreon and check out the Patreon list, there is a link in there for cheaper tickets for that gig. And that gig is December the 15th at Club Eva Bach in Cardiff in South Wales. So if you've been thinking about becoming a member of our Patreon, now is a good time, because you'll also get to come to this gig and hang out with us, because we're going to try and do a big meetup there, and you also get discounts. So yes, patreon.com/sapening.
Ooh, check us out having discount codes and, you know, giving back to the people. That's what the people really want, is cheaper stuff. So yeah, but if you join our Patreon, there's loads of extras on there like that. There's bonus podcasts, there's some funny photos of us two pulling very stupid faces, there's some
just
travel
normal
updates.
Faces.
Yeah, travel updates when we've gone to venues and recorded some of these in the person, and just loads of extra stuff. And on December the 15th in Club Eva Bach in Cardiff, for that show with Junior Raiders, we're going to be doing a kind of meet up at the gig and beforehand as well. So if you fancy a little travel just before the festive holidays, why not come down to the gig and join our Patreon at patreon.com/sapmin. There's so many people in there, Sean, that we really should thank. And I reckon if you headed to the description of this episode. That's lucky
on.
Because already in the description of this episode there's loads of names there that
already?
We thank anyway. Already.
We haven't even finished recording it yet. And you've written it out. How do you know what the topics are gonna be on the How have you guys, I don't know if you can do it, but if you could specify on your Patreon of the one of two of us you want to send the money to, send it to Sean, because apparently Morgan's got a fucking time machine and has gone into the future to find out. And I don't think that's fair that he's got a time machine and I've got...
I think we're over 3 years into this now. We're 157 episodes in. I've worked fucking a couple of things out. I've learned some tricks along the way.
Time traveler? From a podcast? What? What? That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't, but not only are we going to thank the people in the description, but you're going to give a shout out to the elite members of the Sapling Podcast Patreon community. Are you not?
Oh, yeah. No, I am, yeah.
Okay,
I thought you were like doing a build-up. Like, I was like, oh, yes, professional build-up. I'll just go into this. And now you've gone, but are you though? No, fuck him now. Even though they're elite members and they probably pay the highest, fuck them, that's what I say. No, not that at all. I love all of these people very much. Everybody who's currently part of our Patreon community, I genuinely fucking, I cannot thank you enough. Thank you for sticking by us. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for just being there for us as well, because they have fucking, they're a fucking unbelievable bunch. And I know I'm swearing, but that's what happens when an unintelligent person like me wants to show you how much I care for you. So thank you very much to these people. You're fucking superstars. And I swore again. Oh, Jesus. Oh, thank you very much, Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Urangatang, Claus Leeway, Janelle Caston, Amadina Urbano, Mitch Perry, Dilly Grimwood, Kelly Irwin, Nathan Croshaw, Paul Hirschfield, Emma Barber, Kelly Young, Sammy G, Tony Michael, Kat Besant, Captain Hannibal, Dana Lasnova, Jenny Robinson, Murray Grimwood, Scott Jones, Amy Campion, Johnny Phillips, get well soon. He is currently in hospital in Merthyr Tydfil, and I might be going to visit him after this. So hopefully he'll be all right and out by the time this comes out. Not that he fucking probably listens to this anyway. But thank you very much, Mikey McDonald's McMuffin Buns, Tom Owen, Caroline Robinson, Chris Howard, Emma Evans-Roberts, Louis Cook, Martina McManus, Kevin Clark, Danny Eaton, Carl Pendlebury, Lydia Henderson, Craig Harris, James McNaught, Jenny Munster, Jason Heredia, Lucy Deans, John and Emma, who I'll be seeing on the weekend and I can't wait, Emily Perry, Stuart McNaught, Becky Andy, Kelly Cannon, Adam Parslow, Ollie Amesbury, Josh, I bought some shoes from a drug dealer. I don't know what he laced them with, but I've been tripping all day.
That's clever, actually. There's a lot of dynamics.
No, it's not clever, though, is it? Because it sounds like one of your fucking puns. My first thought was, that sounds like one of his puns. And usually you groan at those, right? But you've listened to that, and my first thought was, that sounds like Morgan's pun. And you went, oh, that's actually quite clever. Because you realised in your head, and no. So fuck you, and also fuck Josh Crisp. But also, thank you very, very much for Josh Chris for being part of our Patreon. Thank you, Alice Wood, Katrina Robinson, Kieran Allen, Reese Bowring, Ben Evans, Kate Stevenson, Connor Lewins, Livy Cropper, Keris Andrews, Daniel, you've probably cheered me up on the night shift. You've probably cheered me up on the night shift. Well done, Stevenson. Thank you to all of those people and anybody who's part of our Patreon. Honest now, I cannot stress enough, it means the absolute world to me and Morgan, that you'd support us in any way. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I know we go on about it all the fucking time, every week on this podcast, but literally, it's our job. So
yes,
thank you very
literally.
Much.
And it helps us more than you can ever know. It pays all the bills, and it literally makes this podcast a thing each and every week. So if you want to continue, basically, please go and sign up to patreon.com/Sapnin. You'll make loads of friends, and we're going to be doing a lot more activity for the rest of the year and going into 2022 as well. So before we wrap up, obviously go and check out Raiders, his new music video, Animal, available on YouTube. You can stream the song on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get that.
Raiders UK. Search for Raiders UK on streaming, because fucking it's some bastards nicked it.
Follow us at Sapnin Pod on Twitter and Instagram to keep up to date with everything going on in the world of Sapnin, and follow our personal accounts as well for even more behind the scenes of our life.
Nudes.
I don't post nudes. I post
Should
teasers.
Should I post a nude?
Ooh. At MHRichards _ on Twitter and Instagram.
Oh, am I meant to do mine? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. At Sean Smith Sucks on Twitter, at Fake Sean Smith on Instagram. And those are the two names that are definitely the reason why I can't get verified on either one. So fucking class. Also, Raiders Band UK on all socials. Give us a follow, please. Please check out my band. I remember someone once saying when we started this, because it's Raiders and this podcast started at the same time. I remember somebody posted, he started a podcast just because he started a new band. And every week I forget to plug my own band, so
yeah,
that's obviously not true, is it?
But yeah, because I'm here to I'm here to remind you. But yeah, we'll be back next Friday and every Friday until we die, with some extra guests and nice stories and some surprises along the way. So join us, and until then, we'll see you on the internet, I guess.
See you on the internet, guys. Does that make sense?
I don't know.
I don't fucking know it.
let's stop recording for today. Fucking, let's save some material for next week.
Material? What? Like, don't say material. People think we write this shit down.
No, we're definitely not.
This is fucking... We wing this. I nearly said wung. We have wung this. That's not even a word. I'm losing my mind. I'm on a break. I'm off.
You're listening to Sappening Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.